What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It's coming in October. Oh. I've already got tickets. Maya and I are going. This young man has had a meteoric rise. It was a year and a half ago. I saw him at, is it the Music Bar, whatever it's called downtown?
Record Bar.
You were
record
at the Midland.
Record bar.
No. We were at the Record Bar. I mean, this place seats, it doesn't seat anything.
There are no seats.
The maximum capacity, maybe like 200, 250. Mm-hmm. Now, he's playing the Midland. Moving on up in the world. Steven Sanchez.
That's how they do it.
It's going to be a great show, man. Did you guys see Nora O'Donnell is leaving the CBS Evening News?
Yes.
5 years. She's been on the program for 5 years. She says, I've spent 12 years in the anchor chair here at CBS News, but the story here from CNN says she's been the anchor of the CBS Evening News for 5 years.
She was on the weekends before that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
She's going to stay with CBS, do some, you know how it is, special projects, some platform shows, whatever that means. I have no idea.
60 minutes.
News magazines.
Yeah. Right on. Okay. Then we got this story out of Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, just wait.
From the front to the back, piles of junk cover every inch of Steve Slocum's Vancouver home in Washington State. For more than a year, Slocum has been collecting mannequins for what he once considered art.
The creepy headless kind, just I'm trying to draw the visual, and they are everywhere, including creepy dolls with eyes half open on the exterior of his property.
But in the midst of that, Slocum says the collection turned into a problem. He admits that he is a hoarder. Quote, it is a hoarding case with a real interesting twist. Can't wait to hear it. The hoarding apparently has caused a rat infestation at a home next door, according to a pest control company that Keely Price has hired.
Oh God.
Says Price, they scratch on the side of my house,
no,
right next to my head, and I'm awake.
No.
Price is now suing Mr. Slocum. I don't need it.
I'm not listening to sounds of rats.
Who said anything about sounds of rats, Dana?
All right,
says Price, the next door neighbor, I'm not even able to work. I can't do my job because I can't even use half of my yard. Price is concerned about her pet sitting business that she runs out of her home.
She's got an unlimited supply of pets now.
Why do mannequins draw so many rats?
I think there's more than just mannequins as part of the hoarding problem here, Dan.
Yeah, probably.
I think he, if you see his yard, he's got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's every square inch, Dan, is junk and trash and headless, grotesque
bizarre
mannequins. Then there's the heads of mannequins. He's got one scene where it looks like an old fire pit and what looks like food on top of it. And then he has these macabre, armless, weird mannequins gathered around it as if they are breaking bread.
Mr. Slocum claims that his hoarding issue began after he lost his home to a fire several years ago.
Right.
Why did you say that, Sam?
I totally agree with him. Yeah, that's a very justifiable reason to stock up on headless mannequins.
Well you know.
Makes sense to me.
Well, but
it's cheaper than live models.
But you know what they say? Usually it's some sort of a trauma in your life.
That is true.
Because it is a mental health issue.
I think we would all agree. However, listen to this from the Columbian. No, I'm not listening to that. Slocum's now small fenced yard on P Street, of all things, is filled to the brim with random acquisitions. Naked mannequins are stationed around the property. Some are dismembered or headless. Some of the heads are affixed to fence posts. there's a mannequin baby confined to a cage and at least one taxidermied animal. There are multiple cars, pickups, and a minivan. On top of the minivan, by the way, is a casket.
Sounds like the scene of a horror movie.
He sounds like an artist.
Well, but he's saying it started out as art, Dan. He's saying it started out as art.
But now he admits he's a hoarder. What do
you do?
Maybe
he can become a rat trainer.
You have always said, Scott, that your rights end where mine begins.
That is correct.
Right? And so this, I do believe, is one of those cases where your art has now sent rats. And one of the neighbors, by the way, has damage to her car from the rats. They have chewed into her car.
And like the cable, the wiring?
Yeah. Hmm. They've nested there.
Yeah, your rights only extend so far as they don't infringe upon mine. That's where your rights end. Now, people would say, well, wait a minute, Scott. I have a right to protest you or protest anyone. That's correct. I also have the right not to be offended by that.
There are procedural and legal reasons why the city just can't force a resolution. For one thing, city officials say they cannot step foot onto private property without permission. Code compliance officers have visited periodically, but they have never been allowed inside Slocum's fence. Therefore, they've never been able to examine the situation thoroughly. Let me ask you this. Can you not use a drone to get up and over someone's property, or would that be a violation of his?
I believe that would be a violation right of privacy. His rights.
Is it a 6-foot privacy fence?
I'm wondering, Sam, why they couldn't use a drone. Now, the flip side of that is, would you want your government spying on you using a drone over your property?
No, I would not.
And the answer is no. Nobody would want that. You might want it for Slocum, but you don't want it for anybody else, and that's not how the law works.
Now, you had mentioned the code compliance officers trying to get access to the property. Do they not have some sort of code about junk on your property? Because in Overland Park, if you have something in your backyard that is visible from the street, they will leave a note on your door.
Yeah, but more often than not, that's because you belong to a homeowners association.
Not in Overland Park. That's just city code.
The problem is he's calling this art, and the neighbors say it's trash, and the city says they do have a prohibition against open storage of trash and other miscellaneous things. He's saying this is art. Take me to court.
Well, and there was a case years ago, you'll recall, in Lawrence, where people were hanging umbrellas from tree limbs upside down, open umbrellas upside down, and they were calling it art.
Okay, there was also a guy here in Kansas City 20 years ago. I mean, this was years and years ago. He's since passed. Where he had eggs and other things dangling. And I would love for you to call in if you lived in this neighborhood. You're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. The heads of plastic babies, like little plastic eggs, just crap.
That's not art. You're weird.
Well, but the neighbors fought that for years, too, and always lost because he said that that's his artistic expression.
There's a guy off of 55th and Paseo. When I lived over there, we drove past the house often with mannequin heads hanging from the tree in his front yard.
And it was art?
Well, I never knocked on the door to ask.
That's not art. That means that's if it's art, it's lazy art, and you're weird.
Again, it's cheaper than, you know, hiring a live model. Just saying.
Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Out.
Get out.
Okay.
913-586-7798. It's only art if I can't do it. 913-586-7798. Apparently, my remark that it's art if I can't do it has inflamed several people. I'm sorry.
Are you that guy that goes to the Plaza Art Fair and just like judges everything and walks by?
No,
and you're like,
absolutely not.
I could do that.
No, because I can't. No, I think the stuff that they display at the Plaza Art Fair is very good.
You know, there's always that one guy that walks by and like, I could do that.
Well, like, I can't.
Okay.
I can't paint.
Do you really think that's worth that much?
You willing to negotiate? Your art? You call that art? Let's negotiate.
What is the most you would pay for art?
There is a picture. I bought it in at a gallery in Leavenworth that hangs in my master bedroom. I believe I paid like $300 for it. $250, $300. It's very nice, but it was on sale because they were selling.
Get it at Kirkland's?
No, I got it at the doormail. The doormail on Delaware Street.
Wait, so you did negotiate the price of art.
My mom used to work there. I knew the owner.
There was a piece at the Prairie Village Art Fair or the Brookside Art Fair like a year and a half ago, 2 years, somewhere in that realm, right? And I am so obsessed with it. It's one of those, and I love it. So, you know, I love hearts. It was this huge, huge heart. And it had like a crown on the top of it, like where the wild things are, that crown.
Yeah.
And it had little angel wings on the side. And it was funky and phenomenal and just Dana. The minute I saw it, I thought, I've got to have that. And I looked it up and it was $6,000.
What?
It was $6,000.
You didn't pay for
it? No, I wanted it so bad. But I was like, oh, that's a car. That's a car. It's the price of a car.
So you didn't buy it?
I did not. I mean, I have...
What's the most you've ever paid?
Multiple children in college. That is tuition for a semester. I'm not in a space right now where I could do something like that.
Yeah, right.
What's the most I would pay for art? I've paid for like a... I have a signed Pebble Beach flag from Tom Watson. I have more...
Not art, but...
No, more memorabilia. And I've paid more... I've paid... For stuff like that. But do I have like super fancy art in my home that I bought at an art show? I do not.
So I don't either. I mean, I have several nice paintings. I do remember. I'm such an idiot. I know I've told this story before. She Who Shall Not Be Named and I went out and bought this really nice canvas at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Mm-hmm. And we hung it up in the dining room. You know where I'm going, Sam?
Oh, yeah.
And then last year, when I may or may not have fallen off the wagon and started drinking again, mm-hmm. I had somebody drive me to Nebraska Furniture Mart one day. It was tea. I'll tell you, it was tea. And we're walking around Nebraska Furniture Mart. I'm half cocked on a Saturday. And I bought what I thought was just this fantastic canvas. We get it home because I wanted to put it up in the office.
Oh, I forgot about this. Yes.
And I bought the exact same painting.
So nice familiar. You bought it like, twice.
I put it up on the wall and I go, I was not in a good spot. I remember looking at it and I go, that looks familiar.
Mm-hmm. Did they take it back?
Yes.
You know, you have to check. Why are you returning this? I bet never in the history of art did someone
bought drunk
already have it.
That's a true story.
Forgot I bought same art.
No, I put that up on the wall in the office, which is like, you guys have been to my house. It's like two rooms away from the dining room.
That is so
and
funny.
I'm like, gosh, it looks familiar. I walked into the dining room and I'm like, wait a minute. And then I walked back into the office. I'm like, T, we're going to have to go back.
Go back.
Just flip it over.
I literally bought flip it upside down.
It's abstract.
Right. It's a mirrored image.
Bought the same damn print. That's what I did. They're not loving it. McDonald's global same-store sales have fallen for the first time in nearly 4 years as inflation-weary consumers skipped eating out or chose cheaper options. Sales at locations open at least a year fell 1% in the April-June period. That is the first decline since the final quarter of 2020 when the pandemic shuttered stores and millions of Americans stayed at home.
Okay. We're moving on and we are making this a topic because nostalgia sells even when it's awful nostalgia and you are not going to believe the headline that I just read.
Okay.
14-month-old child becomes trapped in the bottom of a 12-foot PVC pipe, according to Kansas police.
Like baby Jessica?
Yes, exactly like baby Jessica. We have our own baby Jessica.
What city?
A toddler is shaken but otherwise unharmed after she was rescued from the bottom of an underground PVC pipe. The Mound Ridge Police Department say the 14-month-old child became stuck in the pipe just 12 inches in diameter around 2 o'clock Sunday. And look up, baby Jessica, wasn't that
1982?
Yeah, but 10 inches? Was it less than 12 inches? Authorities found the child, quote, upright in the bottom of the pipe, which police went on to say was 10 to 12 feet deep. Why do we have a 10 to 12 foot deep pipe in the middle of anywhere? At the very least, you're going to step in it and shatter your ankle, right?
Baby Jessica was 1987, October of 1987. She's now a teacher.
Oh, yeah. She's full on adult, has her own kids, I think. But what was the diameter of the baby Jessica pipe?
I'll have to look that up.
Eight inches.
I thought it was smaller. The problem with baby Jessica, Scott, you remember, is when she went down, her legs were in a splits position.
Oh, God.
One leg up, one leg down, she was wedged.
8 inches, 22 feet below ground.
We're going to have to try to get these officers on the program tomorrow.
Mound Ridge, where is
that? One police officer's creative approach to get the child out was, quote, instrumental in the rescue. The child was lifted from the pipe through a makeshift catch pole that the officer constructed using rope and a smaller PVC pipe.
Mound Ridge is northeast of Hutchinson, north of Wichita.
Oh, we will be requesting to get those officers on the show.
So it's a tiny little town.
I bet you the officers that rescued this child have never even heard of baby Jessica. You would have to
be... Well, they probably weren't even alive.
No, you would have to be, 40 or older to remember that?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Sam, the nation stopped what it was doing.
Yes, it did.
For how many days?
2 days.
It was a 24-7. I remember Dan Rather covering it, and no one did anything but watch.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, under baby Jessica's Wikipedia page, it says known for falling into a well.
Well,
it wasn't even a well, was it? It was
well-ish.
I guess it was kind of.
But one of the things I want to know about this is, like, why would there be a 10 to 12 foot deep? That's an entire story deep. 12 inch PVC pipe sticking out of there.
With no
covering.
No, you're right. You're right. Because we've learned nothing. In 30 years, 40 years? Dana, you're looking for logic from the illogical.
Sam, they had to tunnel down adjacent to the pipe.
That's right.
If memory serves, to try and get that child out. And, oh my God, the rescuers were singing nursery rhymes because you could hear her crying down there. They couldn't get her out. Oh my God.
Was she really in the splits position?
Yeah, one leg up, one leg down. And that's why time was of the essence, because all of the... You know, your
the blood from the one leg
had gone all the way down. They were saying, like, she could have to be amputated. And I think she ended up with, like, the tiniest little scar on her forehead. And that's it, when it was all said and done.
I'll be done.
Yeah, they created an adjacent shaft and a cross tunnel.
Correct. I remember watching that on the news.
I will never forget them coming out with that baby as long as I live.
October of 1987.
A mining engineer used water jet cutting, which had just come out.
The whole world cheered.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we have reached out. We've got to get them on this program. We've already reached out, and I said, look, we are old enough, Scott and I, and a lot of you in the audience are old enough to remember what happened to baby Jessica. This is so eerily similar, and thank God they got this baby out.
How old was the kid?
Baby.
Okay.
Barely toddler, I think.
All right.
I have 14
month old.
Many questions. Like, why was the hole there? How did they know the baby fell in the hole?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, did someone see it or did baby just go missing?
You hear it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine those parents?
No, God, no. There's been we're not going to ruin the women's gymnastics. I know everybody wants to watch that when they get home tonight.
If you've gone all day without seeing any news,
but
congrats.
There's been a shocker in men's soccer. Egypt has beaten Spain.
Oh. Shocking.
That is shocking.
Yes. What? And,
okay. I believe you.
And the U.S. men are on their way to the quarterfinals for the first time since 2000.
How about that? Man,
these might be my favorite Olympics ever. I'm not going to lie. I love these Olympics.
I know Dan had this in one of his earlier newscasts. The Oscars tried. They failed to get two major comedians to host next year's awards ceremony. Jimmy Kimmel and John Mulaney have both declined offers.
Oh, Mulaney said no.
He did.
Wow.
Have both declined offers to MC the 2025 Academy Awards airing on ABC. Kimmel, who is 56, has hosted the Oscars four times before, including the last two. Mulaney has never hosted the Academy Awards. According to Deadline, Mulaney waited for Kimmel to pass on the hosting gig, and then he said no.
What is the upside of hosting either the Oscars, any of the award shows, the Emmys, or performing at the halftime of the Super Bowl? You have said this before, Scott. There's only one way to go, and it is down.
No, I don't necessarily agree with that, because especially performing at halftime of the Super Bowl, for example, there have been several artists who have really crushed it. I mean, Prince.
But you're already super famous, and so I guess
because it's an honor.
It's an honor, but it's also so much work, and it's also like if you.
Well, it costs the artist a ton of money.
Crap the bed.
You're not paid to do the Super Bowl halftime.
That is true. And if you do it badly, I think that there are people that will say they did not recover from that.
A couple years ago, The Weeknd did the halftime show. I thought it was brilliant.
We have not heard from him since.
Well, but that's because he hasn't put anything.
Well, he decided that he's not going to be The Weeknd anymore. That's why we haven't heard from him since.
All right.
What's he going to be now?
He is recreating himself.
Oh, no. Like yes. Prince with the symbol?
He is recreating himself.
What does that mean?
I will find out when he
Scott,
finds out.
If you were going to recreate yourself, who would you be?
The Beaver.
But it's pretty sad that they have tapped into the same comedian 2 years in a row who has now denied it. I mean, this used to be something that they would clamor to do, right?
I think it's the toughest audience. I think it's...
Who's the guy from When Harry Met Sally?
Why do you do this to me? Why?
He was also in City Slickers.
Why do you do this to me? I'm staring right at him in my mind, and I don't...
Billy Crystal.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Paul Reiser.
Billy Crystal used to host him all the time, and he was good. But listen to this. This is from Kevin Hart. He says, those gigs... referring to the Oscars, those gigs are not good gigs for comics. It's no shot to the Oscars, no shot to the Globes or anything else. Those just aren't comedy-friendly environments anymore.
Because you try to make jokes. Here's why. You try to make jokes to the wider audience watching on television, and they fall flat because Hollywood cannot laugh at itself.
Why?
I think it's the toughest audience in the world. To be an actor or to be a comic or to be famous and to try to be funny in front of that crowd, there's just no upside to doing it.
Their egos are too big.
Maybe.
You think that's what it is?
Oh, yeah. They're egotistical maniacs. How dare you speak ill of me, even if it's in a joking fashion?
Don't you remember one of the comedians made fun of some actor? I don't even remember who it was. And one of the actors came up then to accept an Oscar and said, and how dare you make fun of so-and-so, one of the greatest actors of our time? And it was just like...
keep my wife's name out. Right. Well,
that's a great example.
And that was at the Oscars, was it not?
Great example.
That was at the Oscars?
I believe so, yeah. Hmm. Or the Academy. Well,
that's the same. I think it's the same thing.
I don't follow this stuff.
Lies.
It's all lies. Remember, everybody thought... Well, not everybody. There was a conspiracy theory afterwards that was all set up.
I don't believe that, because I think...
I don't either.
If you go back... As great as an actor as not only Will Smith is, and I do still believe he's a great actor, but also Chris Rock, you could not have scripted that the way that went down.
Now, Will Smith has rebounded.
I went and saw Bad Boys for Life.
It was awesome.
And I thought one time One time at the beginning of the movie, I thought, I cannot believe this is the same guy that a year ago smacked somebody on stage and everyone just thought his career was over.
By the way, the text line says the weekend is becoming the weekday.
That's a joke, isn't it?
All right.
Okay. Terrible.
Get out.
When does gymnastics start?
I believe it starts, well, primetime starts at 7 or 7:30.
Oh, so me, we're going to say right now. You're going to lose me if those girls take the stage. I'm sorry.
Dana, we watch them.
I know.
They've already taken the stage.
I couldn't really, really watch them the way I want to tonight.
Well, do you want me to tell you how they finished?
No, do not. People get so mad about that. How does anyone in this day and age successfully shield themselves from all media all day, and not just all media, it's the top headline on every single website in the world.
That's exactly what you do. You stay off social media and you stay off news websites. I've done it for the World Cup.
Yeah, we don't think it's possible because for our day-to-day lives, we have to be constantly scrolling to look for the next topic to talk about.
Right.
People can actually do it. It's crazy.
It is possible, and I have done it.
Okay, so you can't turn on your car radio. You can't, because even a DJ for one of your, even on SiriusXM.
You can do it with us because we're not ruining it.
What I'm saying is you get in your car and you just flip on some radio station, and then you hear someone going on, hey, by the way, well, either a tough day or a great day, not going to spoil it. You know, and then you're like, I forgot about the radio. Can't turn on the TV.
Not until you get home.
But most people aren't sitting around near a TV at work.
But your computer is on and your phone. You have your phone.
But I have not. So, and I'm not going to tell anybody how the U.S. women finished today. But I will tell you this. I have not received a single notification on my phone.
All I get is notifications.
I feel like the fact that we're so aggressively not talking about it is kind of giving away what happened.
I don't think that's fair at all.
Okay. All right.
They either did well or they did not do well.
Agreed. You'll find out tonight at 7 on
the men's team last night.
I'm telling you, that kid, that self-proclaimed nerd, I'm not calling him a nerd. He calls himself a nerd.
Pommel horse guy.
The pommel horse guy, yeah. He is America's hero. We didn't know we needed.
So listen to this. We do have a physician joining us tomorrow to talk about his ocular difficulties, if you will. But a friend of mine who is an ophthalmologist who's out of town wrote me today to say what it is that he has going on with his eyes. Because if you noticed,
those are thick glasses,
very thick glasses that he then throws down before he takes the pommel horse. And he's basically flying blind, Scott. He has an issue with his sight that I'll explain here in much better language than I could that makes it even more amazing that he did what he did. Because, and I think one of the things I read, he says, I don't need my eyesight as much to do what I do on the pommel horse. It's all feel. I feel what is going on with the pommel horse. And he's not blind. It's called...
No, he just has really bad eyesight.
Strabismus, common spelling. It does, and this is from my friend who's an ophthalmologist. It does not mean he cannot see. It means his eyes are not aligned. The brain then suppresses one image, typically the worst seeing eye, and patients can develop a lazy eye or poor acuity. If he had patching therapy as a child prior to age like 9, it would force the patient to use the worst seeing eye, which can improve vision. It's unbelievable. He doesn't see double. His eyes do sometimes look in different directions.
And I don't mean this derogatorily.
Nope.
Is he cross-eyed?
Okay, so...
Is that a bad term?
No, it's not, because KU sent me an email today helping explain this because they talked to one of their doctors about it. And
Does he have a wandering eye?
No, he has an Instagram page where he talks about this, and we might play it when we come back, where he talks about what's going on with his eyes. And if he wears glasses, I think he's not cross-eyed, but if he takes them off, he can make himself cross-eyed in each eye, if that makes sense.
But why not, if the glasses help, and obviously they do, why not wear sports glasses? You know what I mean? Like some of the...
Because I don't know that fixes it.
NBA players like...
Real quick, Sam, here's what KU said. Have you seen the TikTok video that Steven posted about a year ago? It's him demonstrating how he can choose which eye is crossed, without his glasses at any given time, one of his eyes is always crossed. It is fascinating, and apparently he doesn't wear contacts because he's superstitious, and since he's come so far with his glasses, he's sticking with them.
He's a fascinating human being.
When he was performing at Penn State, he would wear prescription goggles.
That's what I meant.
He said he didn't want to take that to the Olympic stage.
Hmm. He can take whatever he wants to the Olympic stage.
So all he does is pommel horse. That's the only reason. I said this earlier in the show.
He waits all stealth until it's his go time for the pommel horse.
That's exactly right. And I did a deep dive on this young man late last night, and he is fascinating. He started doing gymnastics when he was much younger. He's still young, of course. And he realized he was not good at any of the events except the pommel horse, where he excelled. So what he decided to do was say, screw all the other one, all the other, you know, the rings and the bars and everything. And all he focused on was pommel horse.
He didn't do any of that. Just the horse.
He is a genius, and you saw it last night.
He goes hand.
He is perfect on the pommel horse. That is the only reason he is on that team. And last night, you know, he was, as the other guys were coming off doing their routines, he was handing them water, high-fiving them, you know, slapping them on the back, great job, blah, blah, blah. And they said, one reporter said, they looked at him on the sideline, off the mat, and he's got his eyes closed, and he just has this poop-eating grin on his face because he knows he's the last one up, and he's just sitting there with a smile on his face because he knows he's about to crush it, and he knows he's about to get them a medal.
And he did.
He's awesome. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. You know, there's so many stories in the stack that are about the Olympics today, and they give away.
That's on me. I will make sure that there is not a single Olympic story in the stack.
We can't do that.
Stop ruining archery.
I did ruin soccer earlier. I didn't even realize I was doing it.
The second you said it, I thought there's going to be some soccer enthusiast out there.
Oh, he's mad.
Now, he is, and you ruined the U.S. men's.
I did.
All I did was ruin Egypt and Spain, and let's be honest, nobody really cared. But you ruined the U.S. men's.
I mean, this morning. Most soccer fans watch soccer morning, noon, and night. I thought it was safe.
Why don't you just tell everybody that Han Solo dies in Episode 7?
What happened to the main character in 1883?
She died.
Near a tree.
In the last episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to be bitter about that one for a while.
You ever heard of long butt?
Huh? No, but please enlighten me.
Lululemon thought it had developed its next hit. But after its new leggings became the butt of endless jokes, the company says it's going to leave it behind. Who wrote this? Lululemon has pulled its newly released $98 breeze-through leggings line from its website and app after negative reviews and customer complaints about its V-shaped back seam, which rises up from the seat of the pants all the way up to the lower back.
Okay.
Apparently, it's called long butt. The product snafu. What? What are you laughing about?
I'm painting a mental picture. You're doing a great job, and I can't unsee it.
I will tell you this. There are very few products as a mother that I flat out refuse to buy into.
You will not buy Lululemon?
Will not spend $80 on a piece of fabric the size of a deck of cards.
Okay, you've clearly never bought Lululemon. It ain't $80.
I will not. The tiny little shorts, I won't. I've said to the kids.
Lululemon is.
I know. If you want to spend your money on that.
It's a Ben Franklin or higher.
I know. You want to go spend $100 on a teeny tiny little pair of shorts. You go do that. I am not doing that.
What kind of yoga pants do you buy?
I don't buy yoga pants. Do I look like I do yoga, Scott?
On that note.
Namaste.
Nah, I'm going to stay on the course.
I'm going to keep myself between the kitty bumpers and the bowling alley. It's right down the middle. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. And God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2:00. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. See you tomorrow, too.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.